This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Maintaining bone strength is complex with no single solution. My patients who want to optimize their bone health have seen remarkable results with LiveMD as part of a comprehensive bone program. LiveMD is a Class 1 medical device cleared by the FDA. It creates a gentle, low-intensity vibration to benefit your musculoskeletal system. It's a safe, scientifically proven, and simple approach to maintaining musculoskeletal health and wellness. It really works, just 10 minutes per day. Go to livemd.us, that's livemd.us, to learn more about how LiveMD may improve your health. That's livemd.us. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today I think we have something very special in store for you because we're going to introduce you to an individual who provides some extraordinary services and has a very interesting story to tell. I came across her after seeing this headline, "Oncology Nurse Quits After Discovering Nutrition Heals Cancer." And so I tracked her down. She's Valerie Warwick. Valerie is a registered nurse, and she has a bunch of additional initials and qualifications. Besides that, she's an oncology nurse specialist, having spent many years working in the field of oncology nursing. She's a certified micronutrient specialist. She's also certified in electrolymphatic therapy, which comes in handy in supporting the treatment of certain cancers. We'll find out more about that in just a few moments. She is also the impetus behind a website called mywellnesstutor.com. So without further ado, here's our guest, Valerie Warwick, RN. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you for having me. Hello to all your listeners out there.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you. So tell us your story. I mean, how did you go from being a mainstream oncology nurse to being a wellness consultant? And you kind of turned your back on the world of conventional oncology.
Yeah, I did. I was in traditional oncology for 17 years. And I saw, you know, the treatments firsthand and how they worked, what they were. I worked at the Mayo Clinic some. I worked at in Washington and Idaho and California. And in 2008, my best friend from childhood received a diagnosis of colon cancer with liver mets. And I knew that the treatments were not going to cure her, and I knew that she would suffer a lot from the treatments. And so I started researching fervently, you know, what other treatments were out there for her. And it took me several years to really get the big picture that, yes, there were alternative treatments out there, and nobody, you know, they're not readily available to people. Traditional oncology doctors don't tell you about other options that are available. They're only allowed to offer you the FDA-approved protocols for your particular kind of cancer.
It must have been frustrating to you as an oncology nurse as you developed your knowledge, or you became disillusioned with at least some conventional therapies. We know that some therapies actually do work to some extent or another, with, of course, side effects, and results might be improved with adjunctive natural care. But did you have to bite your tongue during your tenure as an oncology nurse, seeing sometimes patients being urged to undertake therapies that ultimately were futile?
Yes, I did bite my tongue, and fortunately, I guess for me, I wasn't aware of the full picture until the very end when I quit. One experience I had, which you heard, was the young man that had lymphoma, and his platelet count was really low, and he was bleeding pretty much from every orifice, and he had a rash all over his body. And to me, it looked like he was starving to death. And so I spoke to the wife, and I said, you know, why don't we try some, you know, ask the doctor if he can try some vitamin C and see if it helps stop the bleeding, because he was bleeding from his gums, his mouth, mm-hmm. his urine. He had this petechiae rash all over his body.
And you recognize, and, you know, from your basic study of nutrition that actually the symptoms were mimicking the symptoms of scurvy, you know, bleeding gums and you know, purplish, like bruising on the skin that is associated with vitamin C deficiency.
Exactly. And the doctor was, you know, urging him to do more chemotherapy, and he was in such a debilitated state that common sense would just tell you that that is not what he needs. I could see that he needed support and nutrition because he was literally starving to death. And the doctor did agree, after a lot of encouragement, to start him on some small dose of vitamin C. And it actually, in like 2 days, his bleeding stopped, his skin cleared up. It was pretty remarkable, and it just confirmed to me that he really did need nutrition, and that what he was suffering was scurvy. And I was just shocked. That really shocked me. I guess it was just the reality of, oh my gosh, they are starving to death, and giving them more poison is not the answer.
And you know that in the hospital setting, it's actually very hard to apply nutrition. I recall my own experience having broken a hip a few years ago in a bike accident. I asked them pleadingly. I said, "Look, I'm a medical doctor, a medical nutritionist, and you know, I know that you know, this is not a panacea, and you've got to administer medication via the IV, but since you got an IV running in me, can you just run some multivitamins and some magnesium into me? I think that that might help with the healing process." I had to wrestle with them. About 4 days later, a nurse appeared, and I said, "What's that?" And she said, "Oh, those are the vitamins that you had wanted. It turns out that you, on a blood test, you're very deficient in magnesium." I said, "Well, why did you wait until I was very deficient in magnesium?" And he said, "Well, that's the way we do things here. We have to confirm that you're low in magnesium before we'll administer the vitamins. It wouldn't have hurt to start giving me the magnesium at the very point when I hit the emergency room."
Exactly. And so many of our, that should be the first thing that they run, because so many of our diseases, our chronic diseases, are at the root cause nutrient deficiencies. And so, and then it just makes common sense when you break a bone like that, that you're going to need, you know, vitamins and minerals to help support the healing. And all that stress reduces your vitamin C level, because stress, chronic stress, reduces your vitamin C level.
Indeed.
So acute injury or chronic stress.
So, okay, so this takes us up to the point where you left the field of mm-hmm. nursing oncology. And so what did you do then?
I worked in some alternative cancer clinics, I wanted to learn everything I could, which was great. I learned so much. And then I did some private nursing for alternative cancer treatments for those people in the home that could afford private nursing, and they wanted to do, you know, alternative cancer treatments. So I did that. And then I started my own business doing consulting for folks who want to find out what alternative treatments are available for them and what clinics are out there, what kind of lab testing is available. And so that's what I do now.
And that isn't, and that's under the rubric of mywellnesstutor.com. So you are the co-founder and primary consultant. So tell us about that. Is that sort of a like an information and support service? People don't necessarily have to come to visit you in an office, but they can sort of dial in remotely and get information and work with you, correct?
Right. Most of the folks that contact me come through my website, mywellnesstutor.com, and they can set up an appointment for a consultation. And what I do, depending on, you know, each individual is different in their experience, but I usually guide those folks that have been diagnosed with cancer to first do testing. So I refer people to RGCC. They do chemosensitivity and natural substances testing.
Mm-hmm. So explain that concept to our listeners, because I think that that's an interesting and promising way of deciding which is the best treatment, but some people haven't heard about it.
Right. It's really the future of cancer treatment. Just like when we take your blood and we take it to the lab when you have an infection and we test different antibiotics and see which one works the best, and then that's what we, you know, provide. You can do the same thing with cancer. So before you get any chemotherapy or biological medicine or use any natural substances, my best recommendation is to get the RGCC. They take 2 ounces of your blood. They'll isolate the circulating cancer cells and cancer stem cells, and they'll grow those in the lab. And then they place them in 150 petri dishes, and they test all the known chemotherapies, all the biological modifiers like rituximab and Herceptin. Those are the targeted therapies. And about 45 to 50 natural substances. And they'll look at all 72 tumor-related genes. They'll tell you which ones are turned on, and so you can target those to turn those off with different nutrients and supplements and infusions. They'll tell you if your cancer has heat shock repair proteins. Usually cancer cells are very susceptible to heat, and it causes them to break down.
So this would actually be an entree if they had that to kind of an unorthodox a therapy like heat, hyperthermia, correct?
Right, right. It'll tell you if
which is popular everywhere but the United States. It seems to be embraced a lot in Europe and in Asia, but only the most progressive cancer therapy centers in the United States are using hyperthermia.
Right, right. There's a very few, but there are a few in the United States that are either standalone clinics or with a big university hospital, or Cancer Treatment Centers of America, I think, has some units as well.
They do that. They do that, right. So, okay, so so you do sort of a... You know, cancer patients are faced with a lot of dilemmas. They don't know which hospital to go to. They don't know which type of therapy to opt for. Sometimes, like, for example, a male with prostate cancer would say, well, how would you like your prostate treated? Would you like radiation? Would you like proton beam? Would you like freezing? Would you like, surgery? And then, you know, it's kind of bewildering. So how do you approach a problem like that? Do you tell them what to do, or do you just give them options and resources and places to go for more information?
Right. I don't, I encourage them. I give them information. For example, there's different treatment options available. So if you have breast cancer and your tumor is less than 0.5 centimeters, you might qualify for IceCure Medical, which is they use nitrogen to freeze the tumor. Mm-hmm. It's an outpatient procedure. It takes probably 20 minutes to do, and it uses nitrogen to freeze the tumor, and then boom, it's gone. So then you can focus on the whole body, heal, you know, find out why you got cancer and remove those obstacles and boost the immune system so that you can prevent it from spreading anywhere else.
So
you can measure the circulating cancer stem cells and make sure that you keep those down.
Right, which is also, I know about the test, it's a controversial test. Some integrative oncologists use that, but I think mainstream oncologists are not embracing it yet?
No. They don't embrace it because, they haven't been educated about it. It's not FDA approved, so it's not paid for by insurance, so it's out of pocket. But there's several tests that you can use to measure your cancer, circulating cancer stem cells or cancer load. Some are inexpensive and some are a little more spendy.
Mm-hmm. So
it
sounds like what you do is you alert people to innovative treatments, some of which are kind of like conventional treatments, like, you know, this innovative nitrogen freezing technique as an alternative to scalpel surgery or localized radiation. But you also work on a more fundamental level. You know, when a patient has cancer, you start to focus on, you know, what are the factors that might predispose that person to cancer? Nutritional deficiencies, metabolic problems, you know, hormone excess, estrogen dominance. I mean, these are among the things that could be part and part. Inflammation certainly could be part, or lack of essential fatty acids, and so on and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And those are all things that really need to be looked at, and really it should be part of fundamental testing right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
So you do the RGCC test, you measure how many circulating cancer cells per mil of blood you have, then you're going to do other tests to find more information, like heavy metals, or do you have a toxic load of heavy metals that might be contributing to your cancer? Do you have viruses, bacterial or fungal infections, or maybe parasites that are contributing or blocking your healing and your health? Are you not detoxifying properly because your phase one, phase two liver detoxification is broken? So you need to know that, because if you're not detoxifying, you're accumulating, and you'll be accumulating toxins. So you need to know that. If you have the inability to break down estrogens properly, those metabolites can build up, and then you have estrogen-driven cancers. Or you might have been exposed to some toxic elements in the environment, which, well, we all are now. So like plastics and different things can be identified in toxic screenings.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I got to say,
some of the basic labs.
I got to say that as a physician in the state of New York, we're uniquely deprived of the ability to go after some of the things you talked about. The lab regulations in New York are very, very stringent, and many of the excellent tests that you talked about may or may not be available to New York residents. Maybe on the QT, you know, maybe they go out of state or something and they can obtain a test. But, you know, unfortunately, from where I sit here in New York, some of those tests may not be available. Let's talk about process. What is it like to utilize mywellnesstutor.com? Cancer patient gets diagnosed with cancer, has no idea what to do on the alternative front. You know, they're confronted with a lot of conventional options. They may see two or three different specialists, have different ideas of what should be done. So they get in touch with you. How does that work?
Well, they can get in touch with me and book an appointment with me on my online calendar, which is, I think, pretty easy. And I think I'm very affordable for folks. I have three different options for consultations, and I can do video or by telephone. And you can even do a membership option where it's $150 a month, and you get 2 hours of consult time plus unlimited email access for that month, so I can help guide folks during that, you know, really confusing and stressful time when they're first diagnosed or they're transitioning therapies or they're looking for places and different treatment options.
Do you ever run into the problem of cognitive dissonance on the part of the patients? You know, on the one hand, the oncologist is saying one thing, like, oh yeah, nutrition, it plays no role whatsoever in this. Toxins, oh yeah, that's kind of way out. Those tests that are being recommended, we don't use those. And so the patient's sometimes caught like a deer in the headlights. They don't know where to turn They hear one story from you, and they hear one story from them from their skeptical oncologists.
Oh, yeah. I run into that all the time.
I imagine you
do. Yeah, and I think once folks see the test results and they see what substances are going to work for them, whether it's they decide to do the chemotherapy route, at least they're going to know what the percentage is, you know, because it's based on, you know, lab work. So it can give them a better idea. There's also, you know, biopsy tissue sampling that can be used that way as well. So they can take the tissue from the biopsy and use it that way in the lab as well. I think once people start realizing that, well, they are loaded with heavy metals, or they've identified a, you know, a viral infection, you know, they can incorporate these things with, you know, traditional therapies and have a far better outcome.
Indeed.
You know? And there's other options. There's low-dose chemotherapy. They don't have to have, you know, the full dose of chemotherapy. There are options of low-dose chemotherapy.
Well, things like insulin-potentiated therapy, chemo, right?
Yes.
Or IPC.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right, and it's so important to know your detoxification pathways, because if you get chemotherapy and you're not detoxifying properly, it can be very dangerous. It can make you very ill.
Indeed, so plan ahead with proper evaluation. All right, this is a good point at which to pause, because today we're talking to Valerie Warwick, who's a co-founder and primary consultant at My Wellness Tutor, actually, you don't confine your scope to just cancer. You actually work with patients, a variety of patients with challenging medical problems. We'll talk a little bit more about some of your recommendations in just a moment when we return to part two of today's podcast. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.